Welcome to the Business Awards Show, where we share valuable information and secret nuggets to get your award entry noticed by the judges for all the right reasons. Our weekly episodes also feature inspirational interviews with winners, judges, and sponsors. So let's dive in and start your journey to award-winning success. Hello, it's Debbie Gilbert from the Business Awards Show, and I'm also the founder of the Best Business Women Awards. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Dawn Brown, founder of Rose Cottage Doggy Daycare, a gorgeous dog hotel in Chesterfield, which she's had for the past 8 years. And Dawn is also a bit of a spokeswoman for the pet industry. So we're going to talk a lot about the pet industry and also dog kennels today. So if you're somebody in that industry or thinking of going into that industry, this will be interesting. And it'll be interesting for anyone who is in those early days of setting up a business as well, or anyone thinking about entering awards and the benefits those awards can have for your business. So welcome, Dawn.
Hi, Debbie.
So, Dawn, let's start off by talking about the history of Rose Cottage Doggy Daycare, because 8 years is an awful long time. So what made you go into this business? Tell us a bit about that background.
I will. So my journey with dogs actually started when I was 13.
Oh, wow.
Literally, I volunteered in a local kennels, just picking up the poo. That was the only job I was allowed to do at that age, but I absolutely loved it. And I know that sounds really bizarre, but it'll all come apparent as to why I loved it. So then as life takes over and you get a normal job and you get money to pay for things, I was always doing all right, but never really living the life as I wanted to. And then in 2010, I actually lost my dad to pancreatic cancer quite rapidly. And he said to me, stop doing these dead end jobs that you're not enjoying and start working with dogs, which is your passion and your purpose in life. So that sent me on a journey. And I was a single mum at the time. And I took a job in Leicester because that was the only place I could find a job within the kennel industry that would take somebody on that, although I'd had a little bit of experience growing up, I'd not got any qualifications to say I could do what I could do. So I took that job and I learned everything. I did every course. I was hungry to know more about this industry. My dad really sparked something inside me. He said, small acorns grow mighty oaks. You're the mighty oak. You've got to go for it. So I did. And I learned everything. And then I moved to Rose Cottage in 2017 when I met my partner, John, through a friend, which is a funny story, but that's another podcast in itself. And I moved to Rose Cottage and he sort of gave me a golden ticket. He said, I've got a small holding. I can tell you're passionate about what you want to do. Crack on and get it done. So basically, I loved working in the kennels, but I hated the way they was run. Mm-hmm. It was more like a prison camp. So the dogs were inside the kennel, a 20-minute walk if they were lucky, straight back in the kennel. There was no play. There was no socialization, no mental stimulation for the dogs. They were barking all day. They'd go on with no voice boxes because they'd been howling and barking. It was a really sad, sorry affair. Although they did get fed and watered and a 20-minute walk, I just knew deep down in my bones that I could do something better. So then when I met John and I got the opportunity to do that at Rose Cottage, my ethos became it's all about the dog and the freedom and the socialization and the mental, physical, emotional, social stimulation so that they enjoy time away from their owners. They're barking at the gate to get in at our place. And so I really wanted to drive home that we could revolutionize the ways kennels were run, and using technology and innovation, we could make that even more better experience for the owner as well as the dog.
Because it's quite traumatic for a dog being left at a kennels, isn't it, ordinarily? So to sort of add that extra layer of care that you're clearly providing, well thought out, is so, so important, isn't it? And talk me through how regulated the dog kennel industry is.
So compliance is massive in our industry, but only in certain sectors of our industry. So for the doggy hotel and, as I call it, doggy hotel, but others call it dog boarding, kennels, and daycare, it's very strict licensing conditions that you've got to apply and adhere to with your local council that is overseen by DEFRA. Now, they're very, very strict, and some of the guidelines are, I believe, are a little bit, I think they've got cats, whoever wrote the licensing, if I'm honest. And I did actually say that in a round circle to the DEFRA lawyers. You can imagine how that went down. But actually, when you're in the industry and you're hands-on with the dogs, the things that they were putting in the guidelines weren't quite right. And they knew that. And within the first year of DEFRA taking over the licensing, they changed it four times because they didn't get it quite right on the first instance. So that had a knock-on effect on local kennels. Some of my friends that have been doing it a lot longer than I have got shut down overnight because they couldn't adhere to this new legislation. Things like dog walking and dog grooming aren't licensed yet. So if you want to be a dog groomer or you want to be a dog walker, you can go to a grooming college and you get a qualification and you can set up your own business doing dog grooming. I did a grooming course in bed while I had COVID. That is scary because that's giving me a qualification to go and clip a dog. I would never, ever dream of doing that without the hands-on experience. But that's how there's no licensing regs around you to protect you. Whereas with the boarding and the daycare, you've got to jump through hoops to get your license and to keep that high standard, which we're 5-star rated. So we've gone for the highest standard every time. And I like to think that we lead the pack in the tech and the revolutionising how kennels are run.
Fantastic. So you won the category for best animal services in the Best Business Women Awards last year, which was amazing because it's a lovely coveted award to have. It's a UK-wide award. It wasn't your first award because tell us about Kennel of the Year, which is amazing.
So I've already told you my journey and with my dad and growing up.
Yeah.
One of the things that I used to put in my journal as a teenager, because I journaled even when I was in teenage years, was I want to own the best kennels in the UK.
Oh, wow.
Dreams come true, guys. Dreams can come true because in 2020, we won Best Kennel of the Year award with the Pet Industry Federation, which is a huge organisation that supports our industry. And to win that accolade was, it was one off the bucket list. And then from then, it's led to us applying for more awards and winning more awards. And then when I won the award with yourself, that was personal recognition for all the hard work, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the hours of relentlessness to build this business up and to build a team that are as passionate as I am about what we do. That was recognition for that.
Oh, so that's amazing. And do you think that in your industry, the importance of these awards shouldn't be underestimated? Because obviously it's a little bit like a nursery school, isn't it? People are leaving their precious cargo, which is their dog, which dog parents, those accreditations give you such credibility, don't they? As a consumer who had a dog, I sadly have lost my dog now, but I think that if you've got that reassurance that people have won awards, it shouldn't be underestimated, should it?
The power of it, definitely. And that personal branding as well. So building a business is hard. We all know how hard it is when you're self-employed and you're building your business. But to get that recognition, that little bit of a golden nugget that puts you ahead of your competition, that puts you out there as being the best in your industry, I don't think you can get any better than that recognition. And then to personally win an award as well as a business owner, it don't only just boost morale and boost your confidence, it helps you to get out there and get seen. Another saying that my dad used to say, and he was a very wise old man, I just wish I'd listened to him a bit, little bit more when I was younger. He said, you could sell the best ice cream in the world, but if nobody knows you sell ice cream, you ain't going to sell any.
He's right. So,
you've got to get yourself out there and applying for these awards. And trust me, one of the things that I absolutely loved about your award was I'd applied for awards prior to yours and I'd sat there and the minute they announced the winner, it's all about the winner. There's nothing for the other people that have applied for that award. And the sense of deflation that you get when you've not had no recognition and you've gone through that award process of applying for that award. And it is time consuming. You have got to put a lot of thought into it, into your application. I didn't like that side of it. It was very, I mean, it made me hungrier because I'm that sort of person. I'm like, right, if I don't want it this time, I'm definitely winning it next time because that's me and that's who I am. But to see the disappointment on other people's faces, that were quite worrying. Whereas you guys, you do celebrate them silver winners.
Yeah.
And every person in that room that's applied for that award in some way, shape or form gets that recognition.
Yes, that was really important to me.
Is where you guys stand out to all the other awards out there.
Thank you. Oh, no, that's true. I mean, the thing is, it's like you said, because I've been that person. I've been the finalist and I've also been the winner. And I've sat, that was a little bit like you really setting up your kennels. It was like, okay, what bits do I love about the awards industry and what bits don't I like and what bits make me feel uncomfortable, and let's develop something that doesn't allow sponsors and judges to enter. I just don't think that's very ethical.
Yeah.
And that has a judging panel and that doesn't have votes, because otherwise it's a popularity contest. And that celebrates everyone who is selected, because if you're selected for the, you know, as a finalist, then you should be celebrated for that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be left sat there thinking, oh, well, the one person in the category has got the award, but nobody else has. So for me, yeah, I'm glad that you recognise that, actually, because it does make a difference. So let's switch it back on you and talk about the dog kennels. What do you do that's different that dog kennels generally don't do? Because I'm interested to know that.
So at Rose Cottage, we're lucky to have a 5.5 acre site, which we've transformed each paddock into a stimulation area. So we've got things like an agility paddock, a chill out lounge, we've got TVs, sofas, heating, air conditioning. We've also got, last year, I built a splash zone, an outdoor splash zone, because I've got dogs that absolutely love water and splashing about in water. I couldn't afford to build a full-on swimming pool. So the next best thing was a waterfall, a water feature, jets, and a splash pad, almost, an outdoor splash pad. And our dogs absolutely love that. And in the summer, there's no better way for them to cool down than splashing about in cold water, cold, clean water. So it's an absolute no-brainer. And I don't know any other kennels in the country that has got an outdoor splash zone for the dogs. So what makes us different is we really do think about what the dog's needs are.
The
so
dog experience, isn't it? It's the doggy 100%. Experience.
We trade as Rose Cottage Doggy Daycare because that's the name of my house and the name of the site where we are. But our overall business name is actually Dogland.
Mm-hmm.
And Dogland name comes from the ethos of Flamingoland, Legoland, Disneyland, where you take your kids to enjoy your day out. Well, you bring your dogs to Dogland to enjoy your day out, to enjoy time away from their owner.
Yeah.
So Dogland really is the theme park for dogs. So we're not a training centre. We don't do dog training where we get dogs to be obedient. It's all about the fun, the socialisation, the chill time, the downtime, because that's as important as the socialisation as well. So it's really recognising what each and every dog needs. And what stands us apart as well is when you enrol your dog with us, we send you a profile, an online profile. Now, normally in a traditional kennels, and there's nothing wrong with this, they still get the same details, but not as in depth. They ask you for name, what your dog eats, what it likes to play with, maybe where does it sleep at night. We have a 32-page profile where we find out the inside leg of your dog. We want to know absolutely everything about it before it comes through our gate so that we can give it the very best care whilst it's with us. And I think even asking the owners things like what's their favourite chocolate? What do they like to drink? And then at Christmas, we give back. We always give back. And it's lovely to hand over a bottle of their favourite wine and say, thank you for using our services. How do you even know we like that wine? Because we asked you right at the very beginning.
Oh, wow. That's amazing, so, Dawn.
Even things like on doggy birthdays, sending a personalised email to that dog saying happy birthday from all of us here at Rose Cottage. It's them little touches
that make all the difference.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
So you've been at sort of the forefront of the industry now and a bit of a spokesperson. And you've recently won an award through Rolls Royce. Tell us a bit about that.
So I don't know anybody who's not heard of Rolls-Royce. They are a massive brand, a high-class brand, and they was running a, they were supporting a technology and innovation award. So in our industry, it's very, it can be, or it is very basic. It's very paper-based. It's not very tech-driven. Whereas me and my entrepreneurial spirit wanted to change that, and using technology and innovation, we're going to revolutionize how kennels are run, and we're doing exactly that. So we're building tech around our industry, around compliance, what we need daily, what we need weekly, what we need monthly, what your training your staff need, how to do it the right way. And we're building that at the minute. And we applied for that award, and Rolls-Royce actually come and visited our site, and we showed them around, and we showed them what we do, and they were blown away by the tech that we'd introduced into our industry, and said they'd not seen anything like it. And we were up against big corporate tech companies like Block Digital, a massive company. I know Keith Cox personally. I've looked after his dog. And he said to me on the night, he went, "If you don't win this," he went, "I don't know who anybody else who deserves it more than you do," because he knows how hungry I am on this mission to revolutionize the way kennels are run. And when we actually won, he come up to me and he picked me up and he spun me around and he went, he couldn't have gone. Even though he'd applied for the award himself, he knew that how much we wanted that recognition that what we're doing is making a difference in our industry. And that is exactly what that award's done. It's given us that ledge, it's given us that heads up, if you like. So for us, massive.
So is the plan to roll that out and that other kennels will be able to purchase that software? Is that the plan?
So the plan is, I always like to give back. I've said that before earlier on the podcast, and me giving back is helping people do it the right way using the tech that we've created. So I've just qualified as a teacher so that I can teach people, because like I said before, if you want to do dog grooming or dog walking, there's avenues out there. But to do doggy hotel and doggy daycare, there's nothing out there. There's nobody teaching you how to do it the wrong way. Well, hopefully the Dogland Training Academy, which is what I'm personally building at the minute, using this tech will allow other centres or other daycares to be able to use our policies, our procedures, our tech to run their businesses and get 5 stars instead of three. And people said to me, "Why would you do that? That's like business suicide, if you like, because you're giving all your knowledge away." And
No,
I
of
said,
course you're not.
no, it's collaboration, it's not competition, it's collaboration. And hopefully the Dogland brand then will become renowned nationwide. And there's a lot of students that are doing animal welfare courses at college, and they get level four qualifications that's on paper is really good, but they have no hands-on experience because kennels won't set them on, because you're dealing with people's babies. Their pets are their babies. And I've got customers that love the pets more than they do the kids, if we're honest. So it's a big responsibility. So for me to be able to give them students the next step in their journey and offer them a package where they can come and learn from a multi-award-winning business, that to me is giving back. It's bringing the next generation into our industry to make it better and bigger moving forward.
So they'll come to your premises in Chesterfield and learn these skills.
That's right.
So it's kind of an alternative to franchising, really. Sounds much better than franchising, actually, because there's no limit to the number of people that can come. And it could be global. People could come from all over the world and do the training, couldn't
Yeah, I did want to franchise originally. That was my goal, to franchise Dogland and open centres nationwide. But then I thought, with the franchising, again, if they've got the qualification but they haven't got the hands-on experience, it's
they?
quite rapidly that could brand damage. So if I do it the other way, if I nurture the people in a Dogland training academy, and then potentially if that goes well and I have the assets to be able to buy another centre, I'm nurturing them young people, and then potentially I could give them the next step as in their own centre to run. So that's my personal journey that I'm on.
That's a
That's the
great idea. Absolutely fantastic idea. So when will all this be live for people to come and book on? How far are you away from offering that service?
from a launch, from a launch. That word's very, very scary. So I'm just in talks with Chesterfield College at the minute, to because obviously I can, if I want to get my course accredited, it's got to be done in a certain layout, a certain format. So I'm just in talks with the college at that at the moment, but actually rolling out my courses, as in if you want to come and learn about dog body language, for example, we're rolling them courses out very shortly on social media within the next month, where you can come, you can visit site, you can meet me, we'll give you something to take away on the day, and then you learn some golden nuggets about body language. So if I said to you, Debbie, what's it mean when a dog wags its tail, what would you be your first reaction to?
Well, obviously comment? That it's happy and it's content, but I know that isn't always the case, is it?
No, it's not. And quite often, if I've seen a dog walker out and I'm having a chit chat with him, and I'll say, what's it mean when a dog wags its tail? And she'll say, it's happy. And no, not necessarily, it's how it wags it to mean what it's telling you. A dog talks, but not in the language that we use. So it's understanding that dog. And I think if the more knowledge we can spread to owners and to people wanting to get in the industry, the less dog fights we're going to have. And I just think it's just great. Sharing knowledge is great. Nobody knows everything, so to share that knowledge is
it's so important. And I think, being able to understand and read your dog. I mean, I've always had rescue dogs, and, you know, there is a bit of an art with that, if I'm honest with you, that, you know, because obviously they've been through trauma and they've been through a tough time. And I think sometimes people give up on dogs too early, you know, where they might have a difficult dog and it's only because they don't have the knowledge to deal with it. But actually, you know, it's about having places to go to get help and advice, and your service would be absolutely amazing for people, especially people who take on rescue dogs as well. So coming further on to talking about how you give back, because you are somebody who does give back an awful lot, you're coming on board as a sponsor for the Best Business Women Awards for the animal service category. Talk me through what the decision around that was.
So I'm so pleased to be a sponsor in that category, and I have actually for the Pet Industry Federation Awards at the last set of awards last year, I actually sponsored the Home Boarding Award.
Okay.
Now again, people said to me, why the hell would a boarding kennels support and sponsor the dog Home Boarding Award? And I said, because it's not competition, it's collaboration. Yeah, and for me to have won this award with yourself, then to sponsor it, I think that's just amazing, because it's like the next step. It's me giving back. It's me giving somebody else that opportunity to win that award and feel what I felt and use it to propel their business to the next level, which is ultimately what I want them to do. So to support it is amazing. And your journey as well, to support you on your journey, what you do is so different and it's so good.
Oh, well, that's lovely. And we'll look forward to seeing who's going to enter this year. It's always exciting. So often in this podcast, we talk about business challenges, and we're going to talk about one massive challenge that you had, which I don't think many people will have had, in as much as your business ended up under 8 feet of water. Tell us about that and what happened.
So on the 20th of October, and I'll never forget that date, let me tell you, last year, 2023, Storm Babette wiped out my business literally within hours. We rescued 32 dogs that day. We got them to safety on higher ground. Six cars, three feral cats. And I've got to say that, because them feral cats caused me so much stress that morning. But we was all safe. That was the main thing. And then I just watched my entire world, life, dream, passion, purpose go 8 foot underwater. And I can't put into words, without getting a lump in my throat, how that made me feel. And for the team around me that was working with me that day, I had six members of staff here that day, and we were powerless against that water.
You didn't get any warning, did you? So just to put some context in for the listeners, that this storm happened and, you know, you got three rivers colliding together almost, and all of this water just suddenly started coming down while you were all just there working away, the dogs were in their kennels. So that must have been terrifying for you.
Absolutely. And for somebody who can't swim either, that was another level. And it's The night before, I was actually in London. I went to see Karen Brady at Women in Business tech event at London Excel. And something told me on that Thursday night that I needed to go home. I wasn't due to come home till the Friday morning, but a sixth sense told me to come home. And I came home. And then on the Friday, when the storm hit, I did the school run at 7 o'clock, like normal. And at 7:30, I came back in my drive gate, and I knew that that river was going to burst its banks. And that's when I put flood procedure into place. And the team were like, "It's only raining, Dawn. It's all right. It's going to be all right. It's not at the marker yet." Living next to the river, you have your own personal marker.
Okay.
But I knew that that river was rising faster than anticipated, and I just knew that I needed to get them dogs out of there. So that's what we did. And then about an hour and a half later, the river actually burst its banks and it flooded the whole of our office, all our dog paddocks. We lost computers, we lost stock, thousands and thousands of pounds worth of stuff that we lost. We had 24 skips here, getting rid of all the rubbish because it was mucky. It was dirty. It were river water. There were all sorts in that river water.
Oh,
It was
gosh.
Soul destroying. It was terrifying and soul destroying. And at one part, a little part of me, little tiny part of me almost gave up. And I almost thought, shut the gate. That's it. You're done. Your dream is over. You cannot possibly come back from this. But because of the amazing people that I have worked for me, and I can't say it without getting emotional because it really is back to them. Within 2 days, they got my business, our livelihood, our passion, our purpose back up and running. And we jet washed and we cleaned around the clock and we salvaged whatever we could salvage. And we carried on looking for them, looking after them 32 dogs that we had on site. And by the Monday morning, you wouldn't even have known that there'd been a storm here. We literally hit the news. We were on BBC News.
I remember seeing it, yeah.
We hit the news story. I mean, our old puppy pen, we haven't rebuilt that yet because we're waiting for insurance money to come in to be able to move forward with that. That's the only part of the site that we haven't got back to normal. We've worked tirelessly to get it back up and running. And why? Because it's our pit. I cannot put it into words how passionate we are about what we do. And my staff proved themselves them 2 days by doing what they did. And I didn't even have to ask them, Debbie. They were like, right, come on, what time are we coming in the morning? I'm like, I don't know, guys. I'm literally emotionally I'm done. And they were like, no, you're not, come on, 7 o'clock, we'll be here. And that were it.
What an amazing team. And you know, for those listening to this, you know, often we think, oh yeah, you get your insurance money within a few weeks, you get grants. I mean, what happened to you with the grant? I mean, this was terrible to check.
So, we haven't had a penny. The only penny we've had was from the amazing support we've had from our customers. We had a Just Giving page and we raised over £2,000, which we restocked with beds and toys for the dogs. We used that money for that, which we're very grateful for. But as for the grants, we missed the deadline, apparently, to claim the grant money, and the insurance is still ongoing. And we're nearly end of February and it happened in October. So for cash flow reasons, Debbie, that if we hadn't have been as resilient as we have been, we could have been put out of business cash flow wise.
So this is a good lesson for our listeners, is that keep that reserve in your bank. Make sure you've got a slush fund for these emergencies, which you could have foreseen this was going to happen to you, could you?
No. And you really do need to consider a contingency plan, even if it's just 2-3 weeks worth of outgoing costs. Get that in the bank and do not touch it. Have that as your nest egg to fall back on. Because if I hadn't have done that, if I hadn't have had that nest egg to fall back on, we wouldn't be operating now. Because to replace computers, to replace stock, printers, food, we just had a raw food order that Thursday of £1,000 worth of raw food, all gone. All destroyed in the flood. If I hadn't had that nest egg to fall back on to replenish that stock to get us back up and running, like I said, we wouldn't have been able to trade. So for me, that is the golden nugget. Make sure you've got some sort of contingency plan in place for if it never happens, that's brilliant. But if it ever did.
Well, our weather patterns are becoming increasingly more diverse, aren't they? So we never know where we're going to get hit with this. I moved to Somerset last year never experienced flooding before in my life because I lived on top of a hill before I came here. I have joined a Facebook group for the area because there is a village that floods here, which is my main route out to the motorway. And so they set up this Facebook group to talk about the flooding in Donyat so that you know before you even leave if it's even passable. And also the other side of me going to Axminster, it floods at Waycroft, so I can't get to the station. So I've kind of really realised how flooding massively impacts businesses, because the poor pub in Donyat, it's not getting anybody for several days until the floodwaters recede, and it's constantly happening. So it's really awful. And like you said, it, you know, terrifying experience to go through. You know, like you said to me before we came onto the call, you said it was like a tsunami. I mean, imagine how frightening that must have been for you.
The sheer
Amazing
volume
that you've got through it. I mean, it just shows your character, I think, and your strength that you've pulled yourself through it. And, you know, I'm assuming Christmas is quite a busy time for you because of people going away at Christmas, leaving
their
dogs.
Should be, Debbie.
Yeah.
We should be fully booked at Christmas. However, because my team mean the world to me, I ask them every year, do you want to stay open? Or do you want to close and have time with your family and your friends? And for the last 3 years, we've closed. So I've lost business over Christmas, which is a massive busy time. But I've decided to shut the business because my staff work tirelessly throughout the year and they deserve that time with their family and their loved ones. So for me as a business owner, I think that, again, that's me giving them back for all their hard work.
Yeah, so that kind of brings me on to talking about staff retention, because that's a something that a lot of businesses struggle with. And I think what I'm hearing from you is that you really genuinely care about your staff and they care back for you as well. It sounds like a real team effort down there.
It is, and it's a mutual team effort, and they work hard day in, day out. They've got to give me 100% because we're looking after people's babies, and ultimately they're human, the life that we've got to protect that and let them enjoy the time. So they give me 100% and I give them 100% back, even down to filling up the cupboards with porridge, cereal, toast, bread for toast, butter, jam, tea, coffee, sugar. It's a communal kitchen, which I restock regularly. And the cost of living crisis, Debbie, let's face it, the cost of living crisis, I can't pay my staff nowhere near what they deserve, nowhere near. But I give them above minimum wage and I fill that cupboard up. And then if they are struggling at home and they haven't eaten at home, they can come to work and they've got a meal waiting for them.
That's good.
It's giving back and looking after the people that look after you.
And I think that is such an important message to get across, because it is about the people that work for you and looking after them, because they're always such a big part of any business, you know, and business success story. Oh, Dawn, you are utterly inspirational. I can see why the judges chose you last year. I'm really sorry you had to go through that awful experience of the flood, but you've gone through it. And, you know, there is a saying, isn't there, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yes,
you know, definitely. And you kind of almost taken that experience, and it's just made you probably realize that there's probably nothing that you can't get through, because having your business destroyed overnight and having to rebuild it all literally shows your tenacity, really, which is what we always say about the best business women. We always say they are the tenacious ones. They are the ones that have got the guts and the balls. And, you know, not only have you turned the industry on its head, but you've also, you know, wanting to sort of formulate something to give back to your industry, and the training aspect of it sounds really exciting. And you've also got an online dog treats and dog accessory business as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so that all came out of COVID, because COVID, we lost the boarding season. Nobody was going on holiday.
Yeah.
Nobody was allowed to go on holiday, and I wanted to retain my staff. So it made me think outside the box a little bit and create, everybody was getting everything offline, online. So we created an online shop, white labeled some spa products from a local spa for the dogs. Treats, leads, bowls, you name it, we did that. The shop still isn't back up from fully running because of the stock replenishment. We've not been able to invest any money into that at the minute, but we're still selling the treats and the dog food, and the rest will come at a later date. But again, that COVID for a lot of people was doom and gloom and nightmare. But for me, I tried to look for the positives in everything. And I think that's what keeps you going in business as well. So even if the shit is hitting the fan and it's all going down the thwanny and you think, oh my God, am I going to get out of this? Just be grateful for what you've got and look for the positive that you can find, even if it's just down to the smallest thing, because that will carry you through them hard times and get you back up and running. And when I moved to Rose Cottage, I planted daffodil bulbs all the way down my drive, because this is for another podcast, but earlier on in my life, I had a really bad mental health because I wasn't aligning my goal and my purpose and my life. And my dog actually saved my life, but again, I'm not going to go into that now. But because my dog saved my life and I fell into some daffodils, I had an epiphany moment with them daffodils. They're self-loving, they're beautiful, they come back year after year, they get hit by frost and they come back up the next day. And I planted them all the way down our drive and they're in full bloom as we speak. They're brilliant. And every time I'm feeling like a little bit down or a little bit stressed or a little bit overwhelmed, because everybody does when they're having a business and family and one thing or another, I take a walk down the drive, I look at my daffodils and I think, now I'm going to come back bigger, better and stronger. And I do every time. And that's my motto. So you just need a motto.
Oh, that's a really nice story to end the podcast on, really, because actually I'm not going to be able to look at a daffodil now and not think about you.
Oh, and you're more than welcome. If you ever come to Derbyshire, come and have a look at my daffodils and walk down the drive.
I will be coming up to visit your premises at some point this year. As somebody who runs awards, I've met some amazing people. I'm really lucky. And the animal services ladies have been amazing. I've been to see Olivia McCall's cute little pig site over in Amersham. She won it the very first year we did it. What an amazing place that is. The lovely Karen, who's got dog massage business and dog therapy business, I've also seen her at work. And it's just, I'd love it. It's just a lovely industry. And when I decided to bring this category in a few years ago, I can't remember, I think it's about 3 or 4 years ago now, we've met some amazing women in this industry. And it's just so touching, because genuinely, I think this is an industry that does really care so deeply about the animals, which is lovely. You know, it's a lovely industry.
I think I'll speak on all our behalf and say that we're a different breed.
You are. Yeah, a bit of a pun there. Different breed.
in a good way, of course.
No, I'd agree with that wholeheartedly. So thank you for being on the podcast today and sharing your amazing story. And we will add the links to Dawn's business in the notes, so you'll be able to have a look at what she's up to and keep an eye on, you know, go and follow her on social media. What an incredible woman you are. So thank you for joining us today. And thank you for listening. And we'll be back soon with another episode. So thanks,
Debbie. Thank you.
Welcome to the Business Awards Show, where we share valuable information and secret nuggets to get your award entry noticed by the judges for all the right reasons. Our weekly episodes also feature inspirational interviews with winners, judges, and sponsors. So let's dive in and start your journey to award-winning success.